Blog Talk Radio.
Let's walk in the light of Yah. return to my city. I will never forget. We the home of the righteous. We the city that do Yah will. A light that shine on the top of the hill. Every soldier in my city is real. We the city where the truth is revealed. We the home of the prophet. My city be filled with the priests. Rivers that heal disease and trees with fruit and healing leaves. My city sits the throne of the king. Where queens faint. The wisest of nations can't logic away. The city of 12 gates with 12 precious jewels in the breastplate. We the glory of all nations. The beauty of holiness, but we now sitting in loneliness, lowly in unhappiness, waiting for Yah to return to us, bring us back to our city, take us out of hell and captivity. Yahweh needs your spirit to deliver me.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, let's walk in the light of Yah, return to my Yah. Oh Zion, Mount Zion, oh Mount Zion, let's walk in the light of Yah, return to my Yah. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, let's walk in the light of Yah, return to my Yah. Oh Zion, Mount Zion, oh Mount Zion, let's walk in the light of Yah, return to my Yah.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words. Even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. Again, I just thank Yahweh for allowing us to come before you with his great, holy, exalted words. Once again, we come before you taking the many questions that you have. And as we stated yesterday, the answer is from Yahweh. So the only answers we can give is from the Most High, from his words. And if it's something that we cannot answer, then we will study it, look at it, and we will bring the answer back to you, as I did last night. And I will come back to you with, tonight we're going to deal with the questions that you have tonight. Are there any questions thus far? If there's none, I I'll go ahead and show a few scriptures. Between the month and the moon, of course, this particular matter is a matter of controversy. And we get this question a lot from people about this discussion about the month as well as the moon. And there's many who believe that a month is a moon and a moon is a month, synonymous with one another. And if this is true, then some of the scriptures that we will read to you to show you there's a great difference, that these scriptures will prove that they could not be the same. For example, if you go to the book of Psalms, let's start there. And then the question may be asked, well, how do we know the beginning of our months? We get that question a lot as well. And then we also get a question, what is the moon for? What is it? And I will answer all those questions. In the book of Psalms 136, we'll start there. And this is simple, just randomly showing you various scriptures. This is not some type of rocket science at all. To Yahweh, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks, you turn down just a tad. Oh, give thanks unto the Elohim of Elohim, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Master of Masters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. Now this is the part that I want you to see. And I want you to see if this makes sense to you. It says in the sixth verse, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. Everything we read, it makes total sense. Seventh verse, to him that made great lights, and he made two great lights according to the scriptures, and he's going to talk about these great lights. Now watch what he says, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day. For his mercy endures forever, because that's what he made the sun for. That's what he made the sun to do, to rule by day. And watch what he says now in the ninth verse. The moon to rule by night. For his mercy endures forever. And imagine if this word moon, we can just exchange it for month. Since the month is synonymous with moon, and the word moon is synonymous with month, then we can say the month and the stars to rule by night. Do that make sense to you? That a month rule by night? You're honest. And the reason why it don't make sense is because the moon and the month are not synonymous with one another. Because if they are synonymous with one another, then it's easy for us to read this and say, understand it and say, the month and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. And the month don't rule by night. The month don't rule by day, because the month is no light at all. A month is a collection of days, number of days. That's why the scriptures say when the child is a month old, you number them from a month old, because that's a specific certain number, not a specific certain light. The moon is a light that rules by night. The stars are light that rule by night. The sun is light that rule by day. And he made two great lights. And these lights, one rule the day, one rule the night. But both lights have to go through a period of a month. Because a month is just a certain period of time, a certain number of days. Furthermore, in the book, as I'll show you, Jeremiah. The 31st chapter. Watch what this says. See if we can identify, and once you identify a difference, then they cannot be synonymous with one another, because they're different. In the book of Jeremiah 31, and we're going to start at the 35th verse. Thus says Yahweh, which gives the sun for light by day, and the ordinances of the moon for a light by night, which divides the sea when the waves thereof war. Yahweh Phos is his name. If those ordinances depart before me, says Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Now let's reread this. This 35th verse, thus says Yahweh, which gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the month and of the stars for a light by night. The word month, that's no light at all. That's no light. The word month don't even mean light. But it also don't mean moon, in which many of our people want you to believe. But if it does mean moon, as the concordance say, as the Jewish people say, and many of our people follow, I get people calling me saying, people say I'm following you, Moray Ishaya. But they don't realize they the ones following our enemies. It says, and the ordinance of the month and of the stars for light by night, that makes no kind of sense. If you're honest, you know that don't make sense. So the moon and a month cannot be synonymous with one another. And just one more thing on that, and I'll take some other questions. Because the moon operates in phases, so a lot of people believe this is how we can tell days of a month, because it goes through phases. As long as we know the phases, then we would know our time. And if that's true, then we ask people all the time, well, how many days in this month? Well, sometimes it's 29, sometimes it's, well, if a crescent is always a crescent, and it's always the first day of the month, then how can you, the rest of the month, or the rest of the moon, rotate between 29 and 30 days? If that's true, then it's going to alter phase that Yahweh never mentioned in the word of Yah. Never mentioned the word sliver, the word crescent, the first light, none of that. Never mentioned any of those things. But he did mention the word moon. And when Yahweh talked about the beginning of the month, he never used that word. He always used the word that we know as the beginning. The word beginning means the head, the beginning. In the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, in the very first verse, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, not this moon, this month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And you have a first month. The first month is called Abib. And why is it called that's the first month? Because that's how Yahweh named his first month. He gave a name to the first month, just like he gave a name to the Sabbath day or the 7 day, which is called the Sabbath day. And he gave a name to it. But they will have you to believe moon shall be the beginning of moons. The beginning of what moons? How is this moon going to be the beginning of moons? It shall be the first moon of the year to you. What moon is that? They will tell you what Abib. That's the moon. But the word Abib is not even mentioned here. It's mentioned later on. And when it is mentioned, it's mentioned in connection with the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. These words are not interchangeable at all. One more scripture in the book of Numbers. Read Numbers, the third chapter. In Numbers, the time I'm going to read the verse. In the wilderness of Sinai, say, number the children of light of Levi after the house of their fathers, by their families, every male from a month old and upward shall you number them. And we know how to number our days. So in other words, when a child is born, you just number them. But you got to know what a month old is. But they will have you to believe that says every male from a moon on. Well, what the heck is a moon on? Even if it said a moon on, what is that? What's a moon on? You number them from a moon on. What is that? A moon on. How old are you, man, a moon? No, nobody talk like that. No human being talk like that. Man, I'm about 3 moons. That's not in our lexicon at all. This is the lexicon of our enemies. What's that? What's 3 moons? But according to the way they count, 3 moons could be, it could be 90 days, but it could be 87 days. It could be 88 days. It could be 89 days. It could be any of those three things. Because it can be 329 days old moons. It can be 330 days old moons. It can be a 30 day, 29, 29. Come on. Our people knew what a month old was, and there was a difference. Deuteronomy 24:5, the question was asked, if a man is divorced and he go finds another wife, do he have to follow the law of Deuteronomy 24:5? And this is what it says. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war. Neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he has taken. So, in other words, man, he got divorced. Then he marries another woman. Is she a new wife at that point? As much as when a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife which he has taken. In other words, a man can be married 10 years and get divorced and take on a wife, then he supposed to be able to be home a year. Then some people believe that. Some people believe that when he take on another wife, period, free at home. So, for example, in the scriptures, you had men that had multiple wives, many wives. Or Solomon had 1,000 wives. So, man take a wife, he don't get charged with any business for a year. Then after that year, he takes another wife. Then he don't supposed to be charged with any business. And then he take on another wife after that year, and he's not charged with any business. In other words, you got some men in the scriptures would never be charged with business because they too busy taking on wives. And if we're to believe that he can stay at home, whatever wife he takes, he might get divorced 5 times. But the 6th time he take on a wife, that can be his new wife, and he's not charged with any business. And I don't see that at all. That don't seem just and balanced in my opinion. And it's not the understanding that I'm getting. When it says when a man has taken a new wife, just show you the difference. We're going to read Deuteronomy 24 and 1. And watch what this says. In Deuteronomy 24 and 1, it says, when a man has taken a wife. Now, why didn't it say a new wife? See, every word of Elohim is pure. And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. So we see here in Deuteronomy 24:1, it's still talking about marriage. It left out the word new. And why did it leave out the word new? Because when a man has taken a wife, it don't matter if she's new or not, and marry her. And it comes to pass that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorce and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hates her, writes her a bill of divorce and gives it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. In other words, this woman got married a couple times. Or if the latter husband dies, which took her to be his wife, her former husband was sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled. But that is an abomination before Yahweh, and you shall not cause the land to sin, which Yahweh Elohim gives you for an inheritance. And it says, when a man has taken a new wife. In other words, this is like it's the word new. Oftentimes, it refers to something first, new. The Almighty said in the book of Genesis, also in the book of Isaiah, that he will make a new heaven and a new earth. But there's already been a heaven. There's already been an earth. He said there's nothing new under the sun. These things have already been. So when he redo the heavens and redo the earth, they're new to us, but they're really not new at all. And this wife, he's talking about a wife that's new. Here to him, this is a new marriage. This is a new joining together. this is a new matrimony. And that's how this looks to me. It don't look like a man who can stay at home indefinitely just marrying people, as many of our fathers did. I can just show you in a few wives and 10 wives and 5 wives and 8 wives, but they all will be new. And so can they stay away from war all this time? You'll also find in the book of Deuteronomy, since we're there, now, some people may differ, and that's okay if you see this different than I do. But you know how rebellious and stiff-hearted Israel is. So if Israel don't have to war and go to war, what do you think Israel would do? They just keep getting married. That's all. And there's a scripture that I'm looking for. Let me see if I find it real quick. I think I may have, but let's see. Deuteronomy 22. And watch what this says. Okay, here we are. Deuteronomy 20. Fifth verse, Deuteronomy 20. And the officer shall speak to the people, saying, what man is there that has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he dies in the battle, and another man dedicates it. Why? Because this is a new house. Watch what this says. And what man is he that has planted a vineyard and has not yet eaten of it? Why? Because this is new. The only way he didn't eat from it yet, he just planted it. Let him also go and return to his house, lest he dies in the battle, and another man eats of it. And what man is there that has betrothed a wife and has not taken her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he dies in the battle, and another man take her. In other words, at the end of the day, this is all talking about something new, something that he hadn't had an opportunity to dedicate, to eat of, and he didn't have a chance to be with his wife. So this, hallelujah. Yes. The Feast of Weeks is done yearly, just like the Feast of Tabernacles is done yearly. They both are celebrated in the seventh year. And I'm assuming they're asking this because in the seventh year, the land is opposed. Tell you what, that's an excellent question. I've never been asked that one before. That's a real good one. Let me come back tomorrow with that. I'll come back tomorrow. That's a beautiful question, whoever asked that. Let me come back with that question tomorrow. Excellent. And not just let me give you this answer for one of them. And it's probably the answer for both these. In the book of Deuteronomy, still an excellent question. But I think Yahweh will give us part of it, In the book of Deuteronomy 31, this is what it says, the 9th verse. And Moshe wrote this law, delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, which bore the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moshe commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel has come to appear before Yahweh Elohim in the place which he shall choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. So in other words, we're to come up to Jerusalem, not just every year, but also in the 7th year in the Feast of Tabernacles. Now in that feast, can we bring our fruits that we're supposed to bring in the Feast of Tabernacles? And not just us, the world will be coming in the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's read that in the book of Zechariah. The 16th verse. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh Foth, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles from year to year. And it shall be that whoever will not come up of all the families of the earth of Jerusalem, King Yahweh Foth, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt goes not up, that comes not, that have no rain. There shall be the plague with which Yahweh shall smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that shall come not up year will go up the 7th year. And likewise, maybe the first fruits as well, which is the Feast of Weeks. Because undoubtedly it says we to keep the feast from year to year. But I'll search a little bit more. I'm not totally 100% sold on the answer I just gave, other than the fact we just reading that we to keep this. The heathens are to keep it. But how are we to celebrate this feast in the 7th year? So I'll come on that. And if nothing changes then from what I'm saying today, then we gotta keep it. We know we keep it. The question is, do we take the fruits of the 6th year, or do we still gather the 7th year? And we know in the 7th year we're not to sow anything, or are we to gather anything? That's an excellent question. Praise God. Already judged. The question is whether your judgment is, because these are judgments, whether your judgment is everlasting life whether your judgment is shame and everlasting contempt, or whether your judgment that you're not coming back at all, period. But once you die, you're judged. And there's no coming or second judgment or. But Yahweh, once you die, he knows what your fate will be on your return or not. And what happens when your fate is shame and everlasting contempt. You read, I think it's in the book of Isaiah 66, the only scripture that I read that could possibly explain your shame and contempt. And it's in the book of Isaiah 66. And it says, and starting at the 22nd verse, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new month to another, and from one Shabbat to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says Yahweh. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses," the dead. This is, when they use the word carcass, it's talking about the dead. "They shall look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me." And what is a transgression? A transgression, anytime you read in the scriptures where it says somebody has transgressed, it means they have rebelled, they are rebel. They are a rebel and rebelled against God. And what's a rebel? A rebel is somebody who know what to do, but refuse to do it. A lot of men who's supposed to lead, but don't. They're rebellious. Like a lot of women who's married, who's supposed to follow, and they don't. Because they're rebellious. But they're not rebelling against you, and you're not rebelling against them. Y'all rebelling against the Most High. And watch what it says. "For their worm shall not die." Your worm is something that eats your body. "Cause your carcass to ultimately decay. But your worm won't die. Even though you dead, you're really not dead. It's almost like the walking dead, but you won't be walking. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." And of course, and Daniel says, "He shall rise them up for shame and everlasting contempt." And if your worm won't die, it is only because Yahweh kept you alive just to suffer. You're dead, but you're not dead. And that will be your, is this. The rebels, the rebellious, and the men that have transgressed against him. Hallelujah. Any other questions at this time? Well, we'll move on. Any more questions, please bring it to us. And just so people understand this law of the 7 years, you'll find it in the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter. Let's read that to see if we can get a little bit more understanding on this law, even be more crystal clear on what we should be doing the 7th year. Leviticus 25. And this is what it says. to Moshe in Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto Yahweh. And I already know the answer before I read it, but I'm going to read it and see if you can see the answer. 6 years you shall sow your field. 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for Yahweh. And watch what it says. This is the law. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. That which grows of its own accord of your harvest, you shall not reap, neither gather the grapes of your vine undressed. For it is a year of rest unto the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be food for you and for your servant, and for your maid, and for your hired servant, and for your strangers that sojourns with you, and for your cattle, and for the beasts that are in your land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And you shall number 7 Sabbaths a year unto you. 7 times 7 years. In the space of 7 Sabbaths a year shall be unto you 49 years. And it's going to tell you about the Jubilee. But let's get right to the point. You know what you're supposed to do. And watch what it says in the 20th verse. And if you shall say, what shall we eat the 7 year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year. And it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And you shall sow the 8th year, then eat yet of the old fruit until the 9th year. Until her fruits come in, you shall eat of the old store. So this is the law that we must do. Yes, ma'am. Is this on the same thing? All right. So this is what it looked like to me. Just like Yahweh is providing you food for the 7th year and the 8th year, but Yahweh also is giving you enough to bring to Him. That's 7 years. So you still don't have to sow, and you still don't have to gather your fruits in. You leave that for the beasts and the strangers. In other words, they can eat the stuff, but they can't gather in the stuff. And that's the key. The land is just supposed to rest. The question is asked, once the Creator takes your life, and you never knew Yah, and then He takes your life, at that point, do you begin to know Yahweh? And that's only if Yahweh wanted you to know Him. But at the end of the day, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, the scripture says the dead know not nothing. Dead can't swear, they can't promise, they can't praise Yahweh, they can't do nothing. Because you're dead. And of course, you don't know this. Before you were born, did you know Yahweh? Yahweh knew you. But did you know Yahweh? And the truth is, you had to be taught to know Yahweh. Die, then you can't be taught to know Yahweh, because now you're dead. Praise God. Yahweh revealing this angelic being, do He reveal those to people today? And the answer is yes, He does. And does other nations, other people see angelic beings. And there's a great possibility that they do also. And this is how I know. In the book of Ecclesiastes,